Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, and welcome to another Monday Night NASCAR Family Podcast. I am Bailey Smith, your host. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Penelope Bennett from Bellevue, Washington, a NASCAR family member, and also one of the Wednesday night co-hosts. And by the way, tonight is her birthday, so happy birthday, Penelope. We have a really great show for you tonight. Penelope has an incredible story. She's a survivor of childhood. Dad, I was born into multi-generational abuse, and I survived extreme domestic violence within my family of origin. The abuse was physical, mental, emotional, and sexual in nature. I lived in a state of disassociation until June of 2016, when my primary care doctor encouraged me to seek therapy. So I began that process. 3.5 years ago, through intensive cognitive, enabled me to finally begin the process of healing. I will leave the rest for her to share. I would like to give out our phone number, because we love hearing from you guys, and thank you to the people that have called in so far, the panelists. Our phone number is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. Again, my name is Bailey Smith. I am your host. My co-host is Charlie, the one and only. And our guest again is Penelope Bennett from Bellevue, Washington. I am going to bring her on and allow her to start sharing with us.
Oh my gosh,
Happy birthday, Bailey.
Thank you. Actually, thank you so much for mentioning my birthday. Technically, it's tomorrow, November 3rd, but you know, I can celebrate it today or Wednesday. I'll tell you, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow with all the other events going on in our world. So, So, the election that shall not be named. And I'll take one more day of being younger. I don't know what else to say. But thank you for your warm welcome.
I wish you a happy birthday on Facebook just now, so maybe you'll get more calls. But my 23-year-old actually called me, sent me a message today. He said, "Mom, do not go out tomorrow or tomorrow night. Just stay in the house." So it was very cute that he was thinking about me. So anyway.
Yeah, very sweet.
The mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Bailey, and I just wish to thank everybody who's listening in, everybody who's calling in, because, as you know, I found NASCA, I'd say almost two years ago, and when I say found, I was just searching for a support group for adults who were struggling with stemming from childhood maltreatment, and I was getting some help. I was working through, trying to process through some of what I was dealing with in terms of different modalities. But I felt like I just really needed a support group, a place to go where people had this experience and had walked in my shoes and just I could that were could relate to what I was going through in terms of healing. And that's when I found NASCA. So very, very pleased to be on the show tonight as a special guest, and really love and believe in NASCA's mission and everything that it stands for. It is our organization, but I'll probably mention the founder a few times because I'm so appreciative of the platform that has been built, especially for special guest night, where people can come and talk and tell us and we can share them. So just with that being said, my appreciation to be here tonight. And so in terms of where do we go from here? So I'm not sure exactly who's listening and who's calling in, but those listening in may or may not be aware, but I did find NASCA about 2 years ago. And I'll tell you, if this is your first time calling in or listening or just listening, 2 years ago, I was shaking. I called in for the first time after I'd found the Facebook group, after I'd found NASCA. I called into the show for the first time. I was very scared. I don't know why. I was very curious, but I wasn't ready to identify myself. I wasn't ready to be on the panel. I wasn't ready to ask any questions or participate. I just wanted to figure out what it was all about. So if you're on tonight, this is your first time being on the panel, and or you're listening and you're not sure whether or not to call, and you're afraid, I'll tell you it's the best thing I've ever done is get involved and call and slowly and took baby steps evolve into allowing my voice to come on the show and be heard. So if you're afraid and you're reticent, that's okay. Nudge yourself a little bit more to keep going. I'm so glad that I did. So it was November 6th of 2019 last year that I never participated in the panel on the show. I listened to a few shows, but because I was involved in the NASCA website and I saw that there was an opportunity for a special guest, I went on for the first time a year ago and told my story to the world for the first time. So it's been 12 months, and it's fun to come. It's fun. I know we say fun, even though these are very serious subjects, to fast forward 12 months and to kind of look at where the healing process has, how it's evolved and where it's taken me in terms of time. But 12 months ago when I came on the show, my family didn't know that I was going on the show. And I didn't really know why I was going on the show because I had never participated in the panel. I just knew that it was my birthday and it had been a year since I had been able to pull up the most significant dissociated memory of my childhood, which was that I was molested while I was asleep in my bed around 8 or 9 years old by a family member. And it was the first time telling other than professionals and some very, very close friends and my sister and my brother. It was my first time telling, acknowledging that truth. And I was terrified. So, so that was my first time coming on and really, really telling my truth. And to be honest, you know, when I thought about coming on the show tonight, I think back to, well, why was I so compelled to come on the show? And sometimes these things are the things that evolve as you walk through the healing journey and you go through these different paths and different twists and turns. I couldn't have told you even a month ago why I went on the show a year ago and with trepidation told my story. But I believe it's because now what I understand a little bit more about dissociation, how children, when they are in extreme or non-extreme, anybody in an extreme situation that is so traumatic that we can't process it, and we the memory dissipates. It can go in terms of amnesia. The body can become numb. A lot of different forms of dissociation. And one of the things that I believe was helpful and why I went on the show a year ago is because it's very easy once you bring up a repressed memory, and I did bring up that memory. I was able to speak of it. I never have forgotten that the event happened, but I was able to speak of it for the first time at the age of 48. This is 2.5 years. Started therapy at 46, believe it or not, and was able to actually state it, that that had happened to me, pull it up, bring it out. And it all happened around my birthday, by the way. 49. So it was my, what I realized now is it was my 50th birthday present to myself, even though I had been processing through that grief of remembering what had happened to me while I was asleep in my bed for a year. I think I was still at risk of just dissociating it back in. I think I was at risk of just still doubting that, you know, I can say it, I remember it, but I think in order to move forward in the healing process, you have to be able to live in the truth, and you have to be able to face the truth, and you have to be able to move through it. And I think it was an insurance policy for me to come on the show and to tell the world what had happened, because there was no turning back. I was only going to move forward in the healing process. It was an insurance policy that I would do that. So another reason why I love NASCA and love the show and love this platform is that it really truly has been for me a huge leap in moving forward, you know, in my life, and it's and in the process of working through all that I had to work through, and I still continue to work through from what happened to me as a young girl. So now I'm just kind of laughing and talking. But thank you, Bailey. And regarding the childhood, yes. So as I started the show a year ago, I was born into now multi-generational abuse, into a family of multiple generations of cyclical abuse. And a lot of that is still secretive, and I'll never know the truth, because a lot of people that knew all the truth had died. But at 46 years old, I was a pharmaceutical rep, and I had a primary care physician that I knew from my work for about a decade. He knew me also as a patient. And I was in a situation at work where I was being bullied. And he was very privy to this situation because he knew me professionally and personally. He knew a lot of people that I worked with. And he noted that I cowered when I bullied. And he pointed that out to me. He saw something and he said, I think you need to go investigate that. Now, walking into, so I'm like, okay, I just did what he told me. He'd given me good care for the last decade, and I never questioned his medical expertise. And so I walked into a therapist's office, and I thought, well, I better get ready for this appointment, like I did with, you know, all of my professional appointments. So I wrote down kind of a list. Well, you know, here's like a chronological timeline of stuff that's happened in my life. But I was very bland about it. It was like I was writing a grocery list. And I walked into his office like, I'm normal. I have a normal family. I'm a great family. Like, we were normal, and normal child, great, you know, happy, normal, you know, not saying that anything's normal. I now know too, there's nothing. I don't know who defines normal, but I'm not sure what that is. And I don't know who gets to do that. But anyway, I just thought everything was just the way it was supposed to be, because when you grow up in that, that's what you know. So I walked in, I sit down, and I'm just got this list, you know, well, you know, I had panic attacks, fear of abandonment, a lot of screaming in the house, to the point where I was 2-3 years old having panic attacks. You know, couldn't go to places without fear of being abandoned. There were a lot of, you know, beings with the black belt. And sometimes, you know, well, we never really spoke of it. My father really lost his temper a few times. And, well, I was kind of had some pretty bad, you know, beatings and bruises. But, you know, we never talked about that. And, and then, you know, this happened and that happened. And I listed like 20 things, right? And I think the therapist must have been like, okay, she's completely like, you, part of dissociation is sometimes you can remember things, but the emotion I've learned doesn't go along with it. So I could like rattle it off like a grocery list, but there was no feeling behind it. Point is that I walked in as, you know, 4 years ago thinking I live this normal life. I'm a married woman. I've got a career and 3 kids. And yeah, I've got some, you know, I was I got some stuff in my childhood, but, you know, I've been successful in life and all's well. Well, I think, you know, that's the time in life, a lot of time, and I read up a lot of, about this, as a lot of us have. Stuff comes up in your mid-40s, I think, in this midlife. Maybe you're just mature enough and your brain is mature enough to handle it, but anything that's been happening, any stuff, at least for me, it started to resonate. The burdens I was carrying started to become heavier. The load I was carrying, and I'd been carrying a load. I'd been in a constant state of fight or flight since I was born, because I was born to an abusive family. Well, that burden got really heavy. And that's what I believe what my primary care physician saw. So it was 4.5 years ago. If you had asked me 5 years ago today about the trauma that I'd gone through, but I'm also a different person today than I was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was living in hell because I was carrying these heavy burdens. I was living my trauma. I was carrying my trauma. And I'm living in heaven today. I'm a much different person. I'm a lighter person. So the healing process has been painful, but it's definitely been worthwhile, and it continues to be worthwhile. So I feel like I've been talking a lot, Bailey.
I'm gonna stop you because I have, before I bring anybody on, I myself have a lot of questions. Well, I'm not gonna go through a lot of them, but so basically before you walked into that therapist's office, you were totally like living in a different world where you had no idea anything happened to you or that you didn't have a perfect childhood. Is that?
Well, I mean, I knew the things that happened to me. I had some very extreme beatings. I would say, very extreme. I mean, I'm lucky to be alive. But mm-hmm. to me, we never spoke of it. It was the forbidden thing to talk about. So,
mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, children.
You pretended.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, I was kind of like, I got over it, right? Like, yeah, you know, I was really severely beaten, but I got over it. Like, it just wasn't, mm-hmm. Because we didn't talk, we weren't allowed to talk. We never spoke of it. We just mm-hmm. never mm-hmm. spoke of it. My sister reminds me that we actually, my brother, sister, and I, as young adults in our early 20s, were at a conference together, and we spoke of it for the first time ever, all in our 20s in a hotel room. Really, maybe I dissociated. I barely remember. If we had that conversation, I barely remember it. I think we did. I barely remember it. But other than that, we never spoke of it, ever. It was never spoken of.
Like I said, when you walked into that therapist's office, you did not remember the abuse, the child abuse, the sexual abuse. You just, as you were talking,
well, I remember the physical abuse. I actually did. The thing is, like, I never forgot that I had been. I never forgot that I had been visited in my bed while asleep and molested. I had just never stated it. I never even said it out loud to myself. I just carried the shame. It was my deep, dark secret. So, I mean, it was in there, and I knew it was there, but, like, I never had spoke. So it was in a stream of consciousness that I just never had brought out before. So it wasn't even like it was something that I would have ever brought up. Totally forgotten it. No, but I mean, I feel like I never forgotten it, but I really feel like I never, because I hadn't spoken of it, it was just still repressed. Does that make sense?
Right.
We just had
this girl last week who was, had dissociative disorder.
I listened to that show.
Yours wasn't as extreme as hers, but you just disassociated yourself from what happened to everything that happened to you.
Yeah, I completely dissociated myself from that.
I'm going to go in order.
No, I mean, I would say the first time I truly dissociated, and I remember my first memory of just completely going numb, was my father did fly into a rage. I was 11 years old. And I'm sorry, trigger warning. But he, I wasn't sure that this was the actual way that it happened until my sister confirmed that she had the same recollection. It was actually worse than I remembered. He got angry at something that I'd done. I got really angry. I was sent to my room unjustly. I kicked the wall. I kicked a little hole in the wall. I was really angry. He saw, I don't know, he came home, saw it, and he flew into a rage, and he hit me as hard as he could. He punched me across the face. I flew over my bed, landed on my head, landed on my back, or my back really hurt. And then he pinned me down, and he was punching my face until I was unrecognizable, and I just didn't know when it was going to stop. I thought, the way it's going to stop, he's either going to run out of steam or I'm going to be dead. But I remember that was the first time that I floated out of my body, and I was looking. So only really, I felt the first punch. I felt landing on my back, and I remember, oh, that hurt a lot. But then after that, I felt nothing. I remember floating up above my body, and I was looking down, and I could see it happening, and I could hear, the worst part is I could hear the screams of my brother and my sister screaming for him to stop. That's what I remember. But I dissociated the first time then, when I literally floated out of my body. So, regarding dissociation.
Our mind is an incredible thing. Let me bring my co-host and your co-host, Charlie, on for a minute, and then we'll go to Bob in Australia. Charlie!
Okay.
Hey! Charlie. They say it's your birthday!
Wow. So, I've not been blessed with hearing your story. And you know, I say this on the show on Wednesday nights, you know, it sucks that we have to be here to share these stories that it happened in the first place, but it's also a blessing that we have the ability and a platform to do that and know that we're safe. And I got to tell you, you have quite the strong, from what I'm seeing, support system out there, Penelope. We have quite a few callers calling in specifically because you're here, and that's really, really good.
I'm blessed, for sure. I'm very blessed.
So I was going to do a duet with Bailey for happy birthday, but we both decided we didn't want to hurt the neighbor's ears and chase all the doggies away. So.
No, Charlie decided we're going to do this, and I said, I think I sound amazing, but I really don't, so we're better off now.
Well, I know we're, and folks, and those folks that are listening might hear us laughing, like even our special guests, I mean our callers in tonight that haven't called in before, we find that being able to laugh at ourselves and joke helps. So I'm just really interested in listening and learning, Penelope. I always find it fascinating that when people of past trauma, whatever that trauma is, be it from childhood or adulthood, are able to transcend it and overcome it, the amazing things they do with their lives and the lives of others. And I can say that I am very blessed to be able to be on every Wednesday night, have you on as a co-host, and I look forward soon to you actually hosting your own show, which we're going to start working on this week. So thank you so much for being here, sharing your seat with us, and I'll let some other folks get on.
Thank you,
Charlie.
Oh, real quick.
Okay. Oops.
Just real quick, this is another serious moment from Charlie, but Penelope, if you count back, because my birthday's Sunday, if you count back 9 months, we might just be Valentine's Day babies.
Well, you know, I've done the math a lot, and I was premature. So trust me, I've been doing the math on that one a long time. But I think I was a Valentine. I was a wedding night baby. But I think they were married on February 23rd. So there you go.
All right. Well, I just wanted to share that in there. Take care.
Well,
see you in a bit.
Actually, my would-be anniversary would be November this weekend, November 6th. 25 years. So.
Wow. And you look 25, Bailey. So how's that?
Well, thank you. I have a 23-year-old, but thank you. Anyway, let's bring Bob on, since he's been waiting a long time. Welcome, Bob. Thank you.
Hey, good day, folks. And good day, Penelope, darling. And if it's any consolation, I'm 68 and going great, and I have no problem with aging, and but I have no intention of ever growing up. And what strikes me like a blow to the stomach is how similar our journeys have been. And yeah, and so for me, this is my gift to you for today. And please, everybody else, join in. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, darling Penelope. Happy birthday to you.
That is
awesome.
I have the biggest smile on my face. And
I'd just like to say, Penelope, and you've walked the same road but with different words, but healing the wounds of childhood for me was the most important work that I've ever done, because it's brought me to a place of joy. And, you know, no pain, no gain. So it's time to knuckle down and do the work. And you've done it, you know, but the journey is a process. The journey is a process, not a destination.
Oh, yes, it is. It definitely
it is.
I love you, Penelope.
Thank you. And, you know, Bob can legitimately sing happy birthday to me, which I just wish to thank you for that, because it is November 3rd in Australia. So there you go, since he's calling
That's
in
true.
From down under.
That's true. It sure is. Thank you so much, Bob. You made her so happy. Thank you. I'm going to bring Charlie's so-called sister, Alexa, from Texas.
No, that's my sister.
That's what he wrote here. My sister, Alexa, from Texas. Welcome.
I can be his adopted sister.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for calling me.
Hello, everyone. I've actually tuned in several times before, but want to say that I'm very proud of my sister for all of the incredible work that she has done, especially over the past 4 years. She is very strong and incredibly resilient, but I know how much she has been hurting all of these years. And so when I look at all the things that she's accomplished, and most notably the home that she has found with NASCA, I feel a great sense of peace and relief in that. And I know that her journey is not yet finished, but I am so proud of everything that she has accomplished. I'm proud of her, and I'm proud for her, because it's her work and it's her accomplishment. So I really thank you all for supporting her so much. And I love you, honey.
I love you too.
Wow.
Honey. Thank you.
That's so sweet. You can make me cry.
And I would like to know if that man will sing to me on my birthday.
When is your birthday? Hey, you're 2 days after me.
All
make
right.
sure to call
Fellow
in.
Fellow Pisces.
Yes, okay. I am a Pisces all the way. All the way.
Yep. I think he's got a special guest for March.
Yeah. Well, I've been on already, but hopefully, maybe by then I will have written my book, so then I'll be on the show again. But I want
to
say that
Charlie changed. I was actually referring to my sister, but you too, Bailey. Sorry.
Oh,
come on, talk about me. I'm just kidding.
I just want to say, Charlie, change it to Penelope sister. It could be I read it wrong, but I'm almost positive he wrote my sister. Okay.
No, I did. I wrote it because I know how to get into the show too, as you know. Sorry.
Right,
I was on earlier. So.
Right. Right. Well, thank you so much, Alexa, Penelope sister, for calling in.
Well,
it's amazing.
I'm sorry, Billy. I know we might do another round, but I do want to say I really, really, it's really so profound to me to have my sister, not only as my sister, but here on the show, because as we know that you can feel so alone when you are in any stage, whether you're a child in an abusive home or whether you're an adult struggling with coming forward and naming and talking about the things that happened, and there are all different types of reactions from family members, as we know, and that certainly was the case for me, because as I mentioned, we never spoke of it in the home. There was a lot of just secrecy. There was a lot of just silence, and it was more frightening for me to actually 6 year old than it was being an 11 year old, 10 year old, 9 year old girl living in the home. So the fact that my sister has been with me every step of the way, and is still with me. It's a true gift.
It's a real blessing. It is. I can tell you that I only got through what I went through because I have an amazing family. Now, I don't think they would call into the show. I don't think they would necessarily listen live. They just probably listen to when I did my story. But when I went through my domestic violence, and if you say the last 5 years have been really, almost 5 years for me. My health, and without a support system, you can't get through this. Anything, you can't. You need therapists
and
support groups.
And I agree. I mean, yeah. I was in such grief after I was finally able to speak of the one truth that I had never been able to speak of, the shame and the heaviness that I've been carrying all of my life. With what had happened with my father. And I don't know, I mean, I found NASCA, but the first people I told were my girlfriend, were a couple of very close girlfriends who happened to be on the phone now. And if it wasn't for them, I don't know, they gave me the courage to keep going. If I hadn't been able to tell them, if they hadn't been there for me, if they hadn't been the kind of friends that I could tell. But not only could I tell them, they stayed true to me and supported me through this. And I don't know if I would have come this far. And so I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And no words, what it has meant to me and how much it has helped. So
I always say my lifelong friends. I know them since 15 years old. And I'm 46, so, and a lot of us have gone through very similar things. And we are each other's, besides my family, we are literally each other's support. So, I know what that's like. Penelope's sister, Alexa, anything else you want to add before I put you on mute?
Anyone who has questions for my sister.
Oh, we're going to get there. Let me get to the other... With,
oh, okay.
Two more people.
Don't take me off. Don't put me on mute. I might.
No, you want to stay on?
Like...
Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
keep
her. I'll stay on.
Keep her mic open. That'd be great.
Hold on. We have Christy from Washington, best friend. Welcome, Christy. Thank you for calling in. Christy, you're on.
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, that's okay, Bailey. I know she's on. You can come back to her.
Okay.
I have another best. I can see another best friend on too.
Rhea from Washington.
Rhea.
Another best friend.
Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, Rhea.
Thanks for calling in.
Hi, honey.
My other sister.
Yes, I'm here. Of course I'm here. I was 15 minutes late. I was trying to get off my work meeting as quick as I could. But I love you, and thank you for including me in this, you know. It's so special.
Gosh. You are so special.
So proud of you.
Thank you. I'm so touched that you called in.
Well, I mean, it's my opportunity to share with anybody and everybody who's listening is that when I met Penny, I think almost 9 years ago, I met her and she and I just clicked because we were both working moms and she was super strong and smart and beautiful and successful. And we just, not that I am, but I looked up to her as just this amazing force, just so real and just so loving. And we built this beautiful friendship. And then, you know, when Penny was uncovering all this about herself, I just remember thinking how much stronger you got in my eyes, you know, because what you were going through was so raw and so real that I don't think I could have done it. And the fact that you did it and you persevered and you found, you know, different ways to uncover the truth. And I remember all the different people you were talking to and the doctors and the therapy and you just never gave up. And you took me on this journey with you and you trusted me. And, you know, I just commend you and continue to go on this journey. Whatever I can do as your friend and your family, I would do in a heartbeat. And you know that, but I just know that it hasn't been easy. And for anybody that's listening and that they've shared similar stories, like, it's a forever journey, right? But wow, like Bob said, like, there's beauty in adulthood with accepting the childhood, right? So I'm so proud of you.
Oh my gosh, Rhea, thank you. I'm speechless and teary-eyed at the same time, which is rare for me to be. I'm always teary-eyed.
Well, and you know me, you know, I tend to be more private too. So for me, just to share your story through this forum is pushing my boundaries and my limits. So I'm on the journey with you, and you've been patient with me as well. You know, we've learning this together. So.
You have been my rock.
There's nothing like having best girlfriends.
Yeah.
Right?
So true.
Yeah, she's the best friend, and we have our deep, dark secrets that we share. So she has stuff on me, and I have stuff on her that will not ever
That's
be discussed
right.
with any panel or
That's
anybody.
Right.
I have a whole divorce crew that lives here. My lifelong friends live in New York and whatever, but I have a divorce crew. Whoever's on my Facebook will see me post every other Wednesday when we go out, and I always say, post before bros. You don't give up your girlfriend. You never go out with a guy instead of if it's girlfriend night out, you never go out with a guy, and they're all guy crazy. Well, we are all guy crazy. But you never give up that night out with your girls for a guy, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the girls will always be there for you. Or guy friends, but it's usually so, when we have great, amazing friends, we are very lucky people. So, I get it.
Yeah.
And
very,
thank
very
you,
blessed.
Rhea. Yes, you are.
Very blessed.
Thank you for calling in. I'm going to put Alexa and Rhea on mute. We're going to get back to you guys, okay? We'll open up the mic shortly. The thing is back. Are you there, Christy? If she's just listening.
And
want to share anything?
You know,
no. I'm sorry.
You know, she also, she was on call tonight. She's a physician, so she had told me that. I know she's on the call, but she may be on another call while she's I'm sorry, on call as a physician. So maybe we come back to her next round.
Okay. Should we keep them? Should you want to continue a little bit? Should we? There's plenty of time. Do you want to bring Charlie back on, Bob back on? Just tell me.
It's totally up. I mean, it's totally up to you.
It's
I'm happy to keep talking.
Okay, go on. Keep talking.
Well, okay. So, you know, I was actually I actually made some notes over the weekend, and of course, I can't find them. I thought I did them in my notes app on my iPad. I just updated it today, so I don't know where they went because I was trying to think of, well, what are things that I wish that I had talked about a year ago that didn't come up? And I think, you know, one of the things that inspiring and enlightening to be, you know, on the panel and then hosting some of the other special guests tonight, because I've just learned so much from the other guests that have shared their stories as well and inspired by them. And interestingly, there's always been, in most shows, you know, there has been mention of there are little signs as we received as children along the way, either from the universe, from the angels on this earth, you know, that that we were not alone and that we were loved and meant to be here. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're a child in an abusive home, and for me, I equated that to if I was being yelled at, if I was being hit, you know, I was bad and not worth loving. So I tried to be as perfect as I could in order to earn that love. That was the message that I received early on. Like, you want to be loved, you want to be worthy, you got to be good, and you have to be perfectly good. And that might keep you safe from harm. And that was the message. And so that was my goal, and that's where all my energy went. And I was just driven by that. And there was really no spirituality. I really didn't think, you know, I didn't have basic fundamental Christian principles as a young kid. I didn't know, you know, I know we're not a show of faith, but I have very strong faith. I'm Christian. I'm Greek Orthodox and proud to be. And, but that was not something that we went to church. Even from my earliest memory, we went to church, but we didn't really talk about the Bible at home. We really didn't talk about the sermon at home. We really didn't really practice, what we had learned, in my opinion, when we were very young. So it wasn't that I had this spiritual guidance, even as a young kid, that I knew that I was loved and meant to be there. So, interestingly, though, when I was 6 or 7, we had some neighbors move in next door. And we're brunette, I'm Greek, you know, and I don't know if you've seen that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where Nia Vardalos is sitting at the lunch table as an adult, and she's not bringing weird food. She's sitting there, and she's so happy to, like, be sitting with the little blonde girls. No offense to anybody that's blonde. I love blonde people, too. But, you know, she wants to feel like she fits in, okay, is the point. Like, she's sitting there. She fits in. She's with the popular girls. Maybe they all had different hair colors, but anyway. She has, like, her peanut butter sandwich. She doesn't have, like, moussaka or something. And so, anyway, the next-door neighbor was, like, the quintessential, like, they were newlyweds. He was, like, looked like the Ken doll, and she was blonde with a bun in her head, beautiful, young. I mean, and I was just in heaven. Like, and so they move in next door, and their names I will not name, but they were, like, just the happy Leave It to Beaver family. They were so, you could hear her, our homes were in, you know, right next door to each other. And it was California, so the weather's nice, the windows are open. You can hear laughing all the time, especially at night. They would always have a good time. They'd be playing music. My sister got to go there for dinners on Sunday nights. We weren't allowed to eat a lot of junky food because that was an issue in our house. We were supposed to be eating, like, healthy and, you know, But, you know, you got to go next. My sister got to go next door and have like fried chicken and meatloaf and mashed potatoes and chocolate cake. And the parents were dancing in the kitchen. And anyway, it was this kind of house of bliss, where next door there was a lot of horrors going on. And I think that, although never mentioned, the next door neighbor, even from moving in, because there was a lot of screaming in the home, a lot of screaming. And I believe the screaming was so unnerving, and it would just come. My mother was a screamer, and that's how she, I think, would just release her frustration. But for me as a child, I believe that the anxiety and panic attacks and the feeling of not feeling secure and the feeling of being abandoned came from just not feeling secure and all the screaming, because it was like bombs going off all the time. You never knew when you were going to step into one, like what would set one off. And they were frightening to me as a young child. So I think I mentioned the screaming because I believe it was definitely loud enough for the neighborhood to hear, let alone the next door neighbor to hear. And I think she knew that it was a pretty traumatic environment next door. And while she never said anything, and she didn't have to, her actions. And yes, while my sister was lucky enough to go over for Sunday night dinners and eat all the forbidden fruit, if you will, which is good for her. It was great for her because she was close in age to their daughter. And she got to have an escape. And I'm happy that she did. Trust me. I was a little jealous that she got to go over there, but I was happy for her. I really, truly was at the same time. I'm 4.5 years older than my sister. And so, when the first baby was born to this new couple that moved next door, I was 11 years old, which is about the same time as I was subjected to some very severe beatings. This baby was born, and this 11-year-old girl was trusted to babysit. I was trusted to babysit. So I had a neighbor who showed me that I was worth, I mean, her trust. She entrusted me with the things most valuable to her. I probably thought she heard the screaming. I probably thought she knows I'm bad. But despite that, she showed me that I was worth loving. And she showed this to me in many ways, myriad times throughout my life. In fact, she happened to be present during the times in my life where I had actually behaved the worst. I flipped a car the first time I got behind the wheel of a car. I flipped it. I wasn't supposed to be driving. A girlfriend and I conned some boys and letting us drive their car. I totaled a car I'd never driven before. We weren't even at my family of residence. We were in Lake Tahoe, we lived in the Bay Area, which was 4.5 hours away. And the next door neighbor from our residence at home in the Bay Area happened to be renting a cabin like half a mile away from ours. She was there at that scene. The moment that I flipped that car, she was there. And I remember running from that car. There were 6 of us in the car. Nobody had a scratch. Running from the car, we were close to this clubhouse in the neighborhood in Tahoe where we had a cabin, and she was there. So she was the first one that I reported the accident to. This car was total. It was still upside down in a ditch. And she's the one that knew I had done this, that called my father. She informed my father that I had done this. My father's response to me when he saw me, thank God for my next door neighbor that she was able to give him the news and calm him down. Because after that, his first words to me were still, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands. He was very angry with me for having made that decision and having that accident. But anyway, she was there. She was there through all these points in my life where she saw me, from what I believe, she saw me for fallible, spirited, boundary-pushing teenage girl. And even after I flipped that car and she was there, she entrusted me with her business. She had her own business, and she entrusted me to work during the summer. So she showed me many times in my life that I was worth loving and worth trusting when I never believed it, and I certainly didn't get the message at home. And I have to say, I do regret not, you know, she was a big part of me surviving, I think, that childhood, those childhood
events. And I have to say, I truly believe, and I've given this a lot of reflection, if it hadn't been for her, I don't know if I would be here. I may have, probably would have taken my life. So I've heard a lot of other guests come on the show saying that they had these angels, that they had messages, you know, that they were meant to be here, that they were worthy and they were loved. And that was mine. That was a big part, I think, why I'm here today, is because of her. So I now, today, we still have a very close relationship, and I call her my other mother. And she knows a little bit, I think, of our family history. She listens to the show, she'll know it all. But she's happy to have me call her that. And I'm very blessed to have had that. And I really wanted to make mention of that on the show because it was so significant, I think, in just helping me to move forward. And so there's that. Find out actually very recently, and I didn't know this, that she actually is very, very spiritual and Christian. She would teach Sunday school. Never knew that, but her actions definitely reflected that too. But I never really realized, I never saw her in any other context besides she was the fun-loving other mother next door.
Now, talk about your mother, yeah, wow. When you talk about your mother being a screamer, your mother was around.
Yeah, so my mother was around. My mother was around. She was around. My parents, or my father passed away in August of 2017, so it's been a little over 3 years. And my mother, they were married and up until his passing. And I guess now that you bring up my mother, I love my mother. And since I started therapy in, 2016, and then was able to actually speak of everything, especially the molestation by my father. I'd come on NASC a year ago. I'd done the show. I told my sister. I told my brother. I told some close friends. My mother, I still had not told my mother. And I did not know if my mother knew. My mother knew about everything else, but that.
And she never interfered.
My mother, I think, I can't speak for my mother, just from my perspective. My mom did what she thought was best. My mom, I think, felt like with the physical abuse, I think she knew how to handle it. I don't think she had the capability to deal with it. I think she felt like if everything looked perfect and everything looked good, then everything would be good. Of course, that's neglect.
Yeah.
I was neglected. We were neglected, of course. Was it intentional neglect? I don't know. I think it was unintentional neglect, but it was neglect. I think that is how she chose to, that's the only way she could deal with it. The only way she knew how. Not to say that it wasn't exceptionally damaging. Of course, I mean, I went from a child to being 46 before I started therapy. Would have been nice to start back then. But you know what? I'm the luckiest girl in the world because I got to do it. I'm doing it, you know? So I can't, you can never go backwards. You can only move forwards, right?
It's amazing that you don't have or anger towards your mother. I mean, she was supposed to be there to protect you.
That's
incredible.
Before today, I couldn't have answered that question. Because, interestingly, I listened to the October 23rd special guest show. I can't remember who the guest was, just recently, just not even 2 weeks ago. And I know it was a great show, and I know that Bill and Carol hosted it, and they had posted, you know, on the NASCAR Facebook page, what a great show, you got to go back and listen. So I did. And interestingly enough, a big chunk of time was spent on the whole debate, the guest, same thing, like, had been molested, hadn't told his mom, right? Molested by the father, hadn't told his mom. Like, the debate, and the debate went on between Bill and Carol, and it's like, do you tell your mom, do you not tell your mom? Like, my mom is 80, probably laughing right now that I said that. Anyway,
she wasn't back then.
But it's like,
she wasn't 80 back then.
But I mean now, but like, do I tell my mom now, like, that, you know,
right,
that, like, I was molested by my father, like, in her early 80s? I mean, that was the debate, right? Like, do you tell your 80-year-old mom who, you know, may not know, may have suspected, may not have suspected, like, you know, here I am, I have to live my life in truth. You know, I have to live my life in honesty. I can no longer live in the pattern of secrecy, because that's the pattern of abuse, right? I have to be able to just say my truth and live it. That's part of my healing process. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm only going to go forwards. But do you tell your surviving parent something that, in my mind, I'm thinking, and this came up too, like, my mom, I might kill her on the spot. Like, if I tell my mom, she might drop dead. She might be so shocked, might hurt her. She may never speak to me again. I've already lost one parent, right? What if she doesn't believe me? What if I have to relive that all again? So it's been, from a show a year ago, I've spent the last 12 months in this debate. Like, do I tell my mom? Do I not tell my mom? And I've gone over it in therapy, you know, haven't, you know, probably didn't come to the right conclusion, you know, in terms of why I should, right? So it wasn't something that I was really working on actively, like, well, if I'm going to tell her, like, how am I going to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, today I had kept something from my mom that happened last week. I'm having some back issues, and I really didn't want her to know. And here I am again. I'm, like, 50 years old, protecting my mom, right? And and, you know, just keeping, you know, just like, not still protecting her. And, you know, maybe I should, I don't know, but I'm also, like, kind of done with just not being able to be myself and tell the truth, mm-hmm. and just, you mm-hmm. know, be in this mode that I've always been in, you know, of mothering my mother, if you will. When you protect your parent, even as a child, when you live in secrecy, you're parenting your parents, as far as I'm concerned. So today I decided to tell my mom about my back problems. And then, you know, I said to my mom, I'm glad I told you about the back, because I need to have a relationship with you where I'm, that's honest. And then I mm-hmm. said, and speaking of honesty, I got something else.
I don't know. Oh my God.
And I told her today, today was the day that I told my mother that I remembered, and I was able to speak up. I'd never forgotten, but I was able to, when I say remembered, I was able to finally speak of and work through the absolute grief of being molested by my father. The grief that I had never grieved as a child, because I had dissociated it for so long and just keeping it in. And today was the day. And I will tell you that I never, well, my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and died 2 weeks later. And I was not able to speak of the molestation yet. But I had been in therapy a couple years, and I'd written him a letter, which I read on his deathbed, and it was a letter. It was a beautiful letter, but it was the first time I just said, I love you. Here's the great things. You know, there's the great things I take with me about you being a dad, all the great attributes. But there are also these things that have never been named that I need to put out in the open, like, you beat me severely, and it hurt me. But I forgive you. You know, we got it all out there. I forgive you. I love you. But I got to say, here's the impact it had on me, right? And we got to just get it out there. So I had this conversation with my dad. I hadn't been able to speak of the molestation yet. You know, my dad, and that was on his deathbed. My dad so I had that conversation with my dad, but my dad, and then my dad passed away. But he never said he was sorry, even when he said he did regret his violent outburst, but I never received an apology from my dad. And obviously I never will. And, that's okay. I'm okay with it because I've forgiven him and I've forgiven myself. So the fact though that my father never, you know, there's certain validation in hearing, and I'm sorry, but
you
if you want to hear it,
I know.
So the reason I'm saying that is because my mom's reaction was something that I never expected. She said, "I'm sorry." Yeah, she said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know. I had no idea." And then I could tell she was in shock. She said, "I had no idea." But she didn't question it. She validated. She said, "I'm sorry," several times.
You got closure.
I did.
Right?
I did. And, you know, my intention for telling my mom was because I love my mom. I love my mom. I love my family. I love my whole family. Of course, I do. I love them. And I've learned in the last year, you know, you can name and you can say the things, the truth. I can say that my dad molested me. I can say that my mom, that I was neglected. We were neglected. You know, we weren't tended to after the abuse from my father. But because I can name these things and say these things doesn't mean that I'm angry or that I'm unforgiving or that I don't love them. I think that there's love within truth. You know, there's truth in love. And so I told my mom because I love her and I want us to have an honest relationship. And I'll tell you, every year, every day, I talk to my mom every day, especially during quarantine, because, you know, she is 80 and she's been quarantined and during COVID. But every day that I spoke with my mom, especially since I've been on the show, when the world knows your truth and your own mom doesn't, it was just, I couldn't live another day of lying. And I felt like I was shortchanging her. I wasn't giving her the opportunity to be the mother, right? I mean, if one of my kids was struggling with something, I mean, I'd want to know. I don't care how old I am or how old they are. So anyway, yes, today was the day that I did have that conversation with my mother, and it was the result was not what I expected.
Wow.
In a very good way.
I'm going to stop you there because we have 25 minutes left. I'm just going to throw out the phone number, 646-595-2118, and I want to welcome, I don't know if she's going to have much to say yet, but my best friend, Leah, is on. Welcome her. Hey, girl.
Hi. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Have you guys ever met?
No, I haven't. And I haven't heard your whole thing, but I can hear it in your voice and I can hear what you're saying. And, you know, it's really... You're very strong. You're very amazing, and just it's unbelievable, really.
Oh, thank you, Leah. I guess we haven't met. Maybe I'll see you on
you
Facebook.
You've never been on the show together. You never called in.
No,
that
I know of.
No.
No.
She co-hosts with Charlie on Wednesday night.
Oh wow. Oh, okay.
Yes. And I sent you on Facebook Messenger her story, so if you want to look through it quickly, and if we have another chance to go around, I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Hold on. Let's go back to Bob Inista, because he's been on for a long time. Welcome, Bob. Welcome back. Bob, are you there?
Hello? Yeah, I just had my microphone. Yeah, I was just being polite. I had my microphone on mute. And Penelope, darling, you know. Yeah, it just brings to mind so many bumper stickers. Like we're all victims of victims, and if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. And you know, in this age of awakening, what we are doing, and I hate speaking for the we, but for soulmates like yourself, what we are doing is actually breaking the multi-generational cycle of abuse. And it's hard work, but there's no pain, no gain. And what springs to mind right now, in the now, is that a child that's being abused does not stop loving its parents. It stops loving itself. And that is such a sad statement. But I know from my own journey that my childhood was not my fault. So, yeah, I salute you, Penelope, and keep up the good work, for we collectively are manifesting the change that humanity needs. Yeah. Yes, we are. And
I agree.
You know, yeah. It's like, I'm aware of all the corruption and horrifying things that are going on in the world. But I love this statement, you know, where attention goes, energy flows. So I just give my attention in every moment to creating the kind of society, the kind of world that I want to live in. And I do live in. And I've also realized that the best thing that anybody can do is just to let their own light shine. So Penelope, I salute you, and just keep on shining your light, darling. You're not alone.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Let's go back to our buddy Charlie.
Hey, hello.
You've been so quiet tonight.
I'm trying to be a good boy. No, I think it's wonderful that you're having this dialogue. And I think when we have interaction, especially like what we're experiencing with Penelope tonight and the amazing support system, the love she's getting and the love she gives, it gives hope to many of us out here that don't quite have that. It doesn't, like in my case, I don't feel like, oh, gee, I don't have that. I'm like, wow, okay. So it is out there. It can happen. So it keeps, like, folks like me, their hopes up. So I just really, Penelope, I am totally taken back by the beautiful support you have. And I guess this isn't really in line with your story. You know, I always say, let's try to keep our things in line with our guest story. It's one of my mantras. But, you know, you said you started your healing process, you know, when you were in your, late 20s, a.k.a. 40s.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sidebar to your story, but it's interesting because I found out when my father was literally on his deathbed, literally, just hours from, less than 72 hours from dying, that he had been molested at 49 and never dealt with it. And that's why I figured why his rest 25 years are miserable. So, you know, adult experiences and walking through them is not highly unusual. And I think, I can only speak as a man because that's what I am. I can't speak for women because I don't know how a woman feels. We all feel differently. But I know with men, that stigma we carry with us, if we try to tell anybody, it's like, you know, you're a man, you know, oh, come on, or you should have done something. And you know, it's amazing. So I think it's your story's beautiful, not because you went through it, but because you are where you are today. And there's something that hasn't been brought up yet. I'm going to just bring this up real quickly and then silence myself once again. But I'm really, really intrigued and interested, and if you have time before the end of the show, about your yoga behind bars. That is so...
You took those words out of my mouth.
You took those words out of my mouth, Charlie. That was my next.
I was reading your mind, yeah. Sis. I was reading your mind. I was feeling that energy. It was just there. I said, Bambi's going to say this, so let me get it out. No, I wasn't. Well,
my friend,
so,
my,
yeah,
my friend Leah. My friend Leah is a personal trainer and very into fitness, so you guys have that in common. But I'm sorry, go on, Charlie.
So, just a quick mention. So, first of all, Yoga Behind Bars is an organization in Seattle, Washington. Unfortunately, because of COVID right now, we're still low phase in terms of just where we are in terms of numbers, infections, and actually getting back to life as normal. Life is not normal here. But right now there's unfortunately no yoga instructors going into the prison system to teach yoga because of the quarantine. We haven't been since it started in March. But I am a certified yoga instructor because yoga was just such a movement from a very early age has been part of the healing process for me and part of just survival. That was my escape as a child. I would go out and walk long walks and just get out in nature, but moving the body. And, you know, I now understand as an adult that a lot of trauma, anybody that experiences trauma, you know, trauma is held within the body. There is that component, as we know. And part of that trauma is held the body because of what happens to the autonomic nervous system, that fight or flight, that, you know, either our system is in battle mode, if you will, or it's at rest. And when you're in trauma when you have a significant trauma, when you're in trauma for a long period of time, you can actually get stuck. Your body gets stuck in that alarm state, and that's where pain, a lot of autoimmune diseases, a lot of the body just carries this and it gets stuck in it. And I was no different to that. So I think that's why at times movement did feel better because the body started moving. So where does yoga come into that? Now that I give that long explanation. Well, yoga, because it incorporates not only movement, but the breath is one way to go into that nervous system and get that body to help it get unstuck, especially for victims of trauma. So a lot of incarcerated individuals be, you know, excused for their crimes, but you want to look at a symptom of trauma is addiction, is mm-hmm. a lot of the crime, a lot of the behavioral. So really addressing the root of the issues is helps to address the problem. Yoga Behind Bars looks a lot at, you know, reoffending rates and things like that. So they really believe that the body work and actually getting to the root of the problem is why is someone committing these crimes. It's a symptom. It helps the yoga and the movement actually helps to go inward to the person and to just do that self-exploration and to really get to the root of the problem. So that's where Yoga Behind Bars and yoga. I'm trauma-informed trained to teach yoga to actually work with traumatized individuals that are carrying this trauma. And that is what Yoga Behind Bars is all about.
Well, that's awesome. So thank you for sharing that with us and enlightening me. I'm going to give some time for other panelists.
Let's go back to your sister, Alexa. You're back on.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm very happy to hear that my sister had such an honest conversation with my mother, and that, you know, I feel that considering where we started in our family, mom, in a sense, I don't know, Penny, if you would agree with this, but I felt that mom has, I don't know, made some progress. I was always, I, as Penny mentioned, I'm the younger sister by 4.5 years. And I guess maybe being the youngest child, you always have a really acute sense of justice. And I, when we were growing up, you know, as Penny was mentioning with our next door neighbors, they used to tell us they could always hear either laughing or yelling, you know. And there were some times that we had the best of times in our family, and then, of course, we had the worst of times. To hear that my sister feels a sense of peace in regards to my mother's role in, you know, the abuse that occurred with our dad, because that is something that, you know, I really struggled with, was that if, you know, if you're not protecting your children, you're essentially complicit in the abuse. And now, being a mom myself, that's been something that has been hard for me to wrap my mind around. It's a real betrayal when you're not protected by an adult. So the fact that my sister was able to have this conversation with our mom, and, you know, I have had conversations with mom today as well, and to hear her, you know, at least Penny, you know, when we talk about, you know, she could never even really acknowledge the fact that our father had been abusive toward us, even when it happened right in front of her eyes. She could never acknowledge it. And what I heard today from her regarding the physical abuse today was just a natural acknowledgement, not a hesitation, not a, you know, it's just almost like, in many ways, she had been stripped bare to her core, and all that was there was finally, acceptance and honesty. You know, he's responsible for his actions. And I will say, what I think is so remarkable about my sister is not just the journey that she is on and all that she has accomplished in 4 years, but when I hear her speak with others when she's hosting this show, the insights that she has amaze me, because I really see how all the pain that she's worked through is helping others and will continue to help others. But as I'm sure so many people understand who are listening right now, when you have someone in your family who you are terrified of and who intimidates you both physically and emotionally and mentally, whether you're a child or a grown child, it is very hard to climb that mountain. And I think in many ways, you know, part of the powerlessness, speak for Penny, but part of the powerlessness that I felt was, well, I was very vocal about it growing up for all the good it did. But just that you are powerless because you feel like you're silenced. You have no voice. So the fact that, you know, my sister uses her voice in so many different ways, whether it's with NASCA or just in the conversation that she had with our mother today and the way that our mother received it, if you knew where we started, it's extremely momentous.
Alexa, as you can tell, my sister is the most articulate spoken person on the planet and smartest, in my opinion.
Well, you guys sound exactly alike, by the way.
She couldn't have said it better. She couldn't have said it better. I think I'm in shock about my mom's reaction today, my mother's reaction today. It's not what I expected at all. My sister put it beautifully, and I'm not going to try and repeat it because I couldn't put it in quite that context within those words, but it's true. Absolutely. And it makes me hopeful that moving forward, that I can, and hopefully as a family, we can, family of origin, we can mend, because there are scars there, as there are scars in every family that goes through childhood abuse. My sister beautifully just stated, we grew up in fear, and there are scars, and there are still the unspoken truth, those scars, the scar tissue becomes bigger. It doesn't dissipate as the secrecy continues. And my sister's been instrumental in opening up and starting to massage those scars and getting them, you know, out in the open where they should be. But yes,
no,
it was my message,
it.
And yes, I'm shocked. Well, with a lot of your help, Alexa, because you know there's a reason for today that my mother was willing to listen and hear it and acknowledge and validate. That's what I'm saying. It was a group effort for sure. I don't want to minimize your contribution because it was huge.
No.
And I know that.
No, it's you.
That took us, but you chirped away at her. You chirped away at her too. As Alexa stated, she was always the verbal one. I was always like quiet, you know, hang my head down. I was afraid that my voice would always, well, my voice always got me in trouble, but my sister was unafraid to just voice the injustice of it all, which I regret that because it was.
No,
well,
what could you do?
Using your voice now, so that's
yeah.
What counts.
Yeah.
You're helping the next generation.
Alexa,
I'm going to give you, we're running out of time. What were you going to say?
Oh yeah, no.
No.
Definitely, I have hope. Today, I have a new hope.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give best friend Rhea a chance to say.
Hi.
Welcome back, Rhea.
Thank you. You know, I just wanted to just emphasize Penny's huge heart because I listen to what she says and how much love she has for her sister and her brother and her mom and her dad. And I think about that, and I think that's what got her through, like, some of, well, probably all of the emotional ups and downs. Is just she has the biggest heart. And one of the things that I noticed when I first met Penny was what a fantastic mom she was of three boys all within, I think, 18 months apart. And to this day, I tell her she is my one friend that me and my girls look up to in terms of their faith, their actions, their kindness. So, you know, as much as I talked about how strong you are, Penny, and you know, strength, it's also like how deep your love goes for your family that has allowed you to forgive, to move on, and just be such a super amazing parent. And I know you've gone through a lot with a family unit, and it's just, love is huge, and you're so lucky. You're so lucky to be able to count on your heart to pull you through some stuff. Even some of the questions that were asked of you today is just like, you know, and that's the good thing that your mom and dad instilled in you and Alexa, right? Like, just there was some good, right? And being
absolutely
a good person. And whether it's the faith, whether it's the culture, whether it was the neighbor that helped, whatever it is, all those things added up to make you the beautiful person you are today.
Oh, Rhea.
Wow.
Thank
you.
Thank you for calling in
and your amazing, beautiful words. Like I said before,
yeah, of course.
You're so special. Sorry, I put her on mute. There's nothing like having a support system of friends, family, and I'm going to put my best friend back on and see if she has anything to say. Rhea?
Yes, I have to say that I don't recognize and give enough credit to Bailey, who's here today, and she's just an incredible friend. I just want to say that she is a very good support system for me on a daily basis. We speak more than once a day. And she's been incredibly, an incredible force and in so many amazing ways, just supportive and great advice and very helpful, very loving, good friend who's like family, basically. Yeah.
So I was saying how important, go on, Alexa. I need to know, please.
Oh no! Isn't it such a blessing to have that? It's just such a blessing to have those people in your life—the Leahs and the Reyes—and I mean, you know, obviously my sister. But it's truly, you know, I love my family and the friends that I have now. in this time of my life, they are my family too, and I love them as much, you know, and as passionately. And I can hear that between you, Bailey, and Leah. And it's mm-hmm. we choose these friends, and they choose us, and there is that bond there, and it is, you know, it's empowering, it's inspiring, and it just helps us power through these. You know, life is life. We're not, you know, we live on this earth, and we're not immune to the ups and downs. And so, you know, my sister, and obviously she's my rock, and Rhea is my sister too. I call her my sister, and I mean it in every sense of the word. She truly is, and you know, and I can tell Leah and Bailey, you are the same for each other. It's just,
we know each other.
So, and I know we're running. We've got 3 minutes left. So,
yeah. Thank you, Leah, for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm gonna. Oops, I'm sorry. I muted you by mistake. What were you gonna say?
No, I just said it's always great tuning in. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Penelope, do you want to say anything else, or should we try and do one more round?
Yeah, no, I just want to say thanks. I wanted to say thanks for having me on the show as a special guest. I mean, obviously, I was looking forward to coming back on, and just feel so privileged to be a part of the NASCA organization. And I think it's just the platform. And what NASCA offers to this world is just, I'm privileged to be a part of it, and it's such good work. And if you're listening tonight, if you're, you know, afraid to call in or you want to get more involved, just go on the NASCA website, call into a show, start as a panelist, take a baby step. But it's one thing about NASCA, it's been there, it'll be there. And once you call in, once you're there, you're a member of the family. And it's a place where you can really have that voice and be able to speak your truth.
Bob, he's calling from Australia.
Hello there. Hey.
Wrap something up. We have a short. Give a second.
Yeah. This is for Penelope and for all of us. Oh, and I love to sing. One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel alright.
Beautiful.
Woke up this morning.
Great.
Three
great
little
Bob
birds. I don't step. And they were singing. One love,
thank you.
One
time. We have 20 seconds left.
Peace is on the ride. Everybody.
Thank you.
One time. Yeah. One store.
I have to hang up on you. Thank you, Bob.
Love you all.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for calling. Let's get Charlie quickly one last time because we have to close out. Charlie, any last second words?
Yeah, just real quick. First of all, thank you so much, Penelope. Thank you, Bailey. Thank you for everyone out there that works with and supports the NASCA family. And I want to encourage our listeners that called in tonight to support Penelope. We're here for you as well. If you've come onto this show or onto our website anytime, you are our brothers and sisters. In this case, we've got a bunch of extra sisters tonight. That's all I want to say. Be blessed, stay encouraged, and remember, the outcome of your day is only as good as your input.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Penelope, for being our special guest. Thank you to everybody that called to support me. Yes. And again, thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for being a co-host. Thank you for being a part of our family. And I want to wish everybody a wonderful night. And God bless. And be healthy. Stay healthy.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Talk Radio.